Hi there, pod people. This is not, in fact, a new episode of CCRH, and I'm not Matthew Schott. But I can tell you that Matt Schott, the man behind this show and the voice of Pastor Cream's Clearwater, has a brand new one-man improv performance, The Saga of the Shining Emblem, Chapter 7, The Legend of Destiny. And this show will have its world premiere Friday, March 2nd, 2008, at 10:30 p.m. at the Pit Loft in Manhattan, New York City. Matt recently appeared on the Pro Wrestling Podcast, Much Ado About Wrestling, to talk about this new show in length, and he even did a full 30-minute audio version of his new show and what it's all about. So, I'm going to cut to the chase here. We're going to play you his interview from that podcast, and stick around, because a few minutes in, he will do an example of The Saga of the Shining Emblem, Chapter 7, The Legend of Destiny. Tickets $8. They're available in the show notes. Thanks.
Taking shots at the dark, drinking beer and smoking cigarettes.
Welcome to Much Ado About Wrestling, the show that teaches you how to appreciate the theatrical world of professional wrestling. I'm one half of your intrepid co-host, Andrew Terrence Caberline, and with me, as always, is the unexpectedly delightful Mr. Tyler Ward. Mr. Tyler Ward, how are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful, Andrew. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, but I'm going to cut you off because today things are a little different in our fair show because we have with us a guest today, a guest who goes by the name of Matthew Schott.
Hello, that's me. It sounds like that's my nickname because of the way you said I go by that, but it is just my name.
Oh, you don't have... I thought that was your alias. It's both your alias and your real
name.
Yeah,
it's my alias, but I'm not very good at aliases, so people typically just know it's me.
So it's closer to a Bill Goldberg situation. You're not having like a stage name. Do you go just by Schott ever?
Sometimes I think the bullies in high school would be like, "Yo, Schott," and then push me into a locker, and I'd say, "One day you'll get yours."
Did they ever get theirs?
Yes. Later on, Zordon gave me the power coins, and I was able to stand up to them.
Great. So if you hadn't guessed it yet by listening to that opening, our friend Matt is both a comedian and an actor and an improv artist. Are those all fair things? He's a good-looking guy.
Wow. All right. Now I'm going to have to take issue
with
these. He's
a devilishly handsome bard, many may call him.
I'll take bard. You know what? Bard is probably more apt than all the others.
But that brings us to a question of why we have Matt on. For this episode, who doesn't watch wrestling. Matt, you have a show coming up.
And I do.
We want the world to know about it. Can you tell us a bit of the details about this show that you're doing?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's called The Saga of the Shining Emblem, Chapter 7, The Legend of Destiny. I used to describe it as kind of like Dungeons & Dragons, but I think that's a little misleading because...
Yeah, I think that's what I was going to guess.
Reasonable. Basically, it's a show where, you know, I'm somebody who I've spent my whole life indulging in a lot of video games and fantasy and things like that. And so I love stories and I love to tell stories. And a unique skill of mine is the ability to spin a yarn endlessly without having to be like, wait, hold on, let me think of where you could go next. Not that I've ever known anybody with that problem, but I decided, you know, the idea came to me when we did a tabletop session at one of our theater ensemble meetings, and I was like, man, I should just like do this as like a show, but like get rid of all the dice rolls and the number work and just boil it down to the basic fun story stuff. And so that's what the show is. I just bring up an audience member and I get a starting location from the audience and we just riff. I just take them on a story and I give them options. I just say, what do you want to do? And they can say whatever they want and I will accept it as the next thing that happens in the story, regardless of how absurd it may be or lacking in detail as it may be.
And you've tried this a few times, but this next show you have coming up is your like world premiere.
Yes, I've workshopped the show twice now, and both times went really well, but it was definitely on like a lower kind of scale, just kind of like trying out the basic idea. And this is going to be like for real deal, lights,
real deal,
and
Holy Field,
and sounds, and all sorts of crazy surprises.
And there is, you have now musical accompaniment as
yes,
well.
Yes, the magnificent and a wonderfully friendly Sam Kessler accompanies me on piano, and he is just the best. He's so good at what he does. I don't even need to do anything, really. He just, like, goes. He's just able to keep up with me, which is quite an accomplishment.
I will say I was there for the first time that you had Sam, and he took a moment that was a really funny climax at the end of your story, and because of his scoring made it feel like a very, like the big scene in a motivational film, like an inspirational film. And people, another person who maybe is in the room with us right now may or may not have cried during that moment because she was so moved by the story.
Which is by the ambiance.
You know, it's how you know you've made it as a storyteller. When you can take a character like his name was Gumdrop
from Candyland,
and make him an emotional character who people get invested in, and I very much get lost in moments like that, as you well saw at that workshop, and I love it. I love this show, and it's going to be a heck of a blast.
So if people want to see the show, where and when can they see it?
Next Friday, that's March 2nd, at the Pit Loft at 10:30 p.m. The Pit Loft is downtown. It's I think I can pull the address off the top of my head here.
It's not like we have in front of us.
154 West 29th Street. And, you know, there's like a little stairs that you will have to walk up the stairs to get to it. That's
they're not
call
that
the loft.
Tall. Yeah.
But it's reasonable. It's worth the climb.
And how much are the tickets?
$8. And
$8
on sale
is
right
it.
Now.
They are on sale. There's a link in our show notes, or you can just go, just Google the Pit Loft, and it will come up. It's the first thing. The People's Improv Theater is what the Pit is. It's a really big improv theater in New York. I've seen a lot of different shows of varying levels there. I've seen The Risk, the Kevin Allison podcast, there a few times. I once saw Reggie Watt outside of it, just hanging out. So that's
an endorsement.
And that was worth the $8 itself. So.
Yeah, that was a really great experience there. So we are going to get to hear a bit of your show in kind of a truncated version a bit later in this episode.
Sneak peek.
Yeah, but I'm not going to push the cart ahead of the horse.
Put the cart ahead of
I'm
the horse.
I'm not going to murder any horses.
Okay.
That's about all the time we have for the campy stuff, which means we got one segment left on the show. Tyler, do you have your Kayfabe 5000 with you?
So yeah, I had it. Unfortunately, it's not working at the moment. I have
oh, it's not working?
Taking a look at it. And
does anybody else have a machine?
Well, actually, you know, it's funny, you know, even though I've never heard of the show before, I did coincidentally, I've been working in my lab just late one night. And I happened to create a machine that I figured I'd call the Shot 5000. And I think
you know,
it's
that trademarked.
That's what I thought you were doing in your lab. You know, my lab and Matt's lab are right next door.
Yeah, they're right next to each other. And
he'd been pulling some late nights. I'd seen that.
He could just see a lot of flashing lights and the sound of drills and me going, Eureka! you know, I think it does exactly the same thing as you. It's just, I'll put it out here. You can see it's just kind of a big box with a button on top that
just
says, do
one
not
button.
Push.
Oh, so we shouldn't push the button?
Well, I mean, we will now.
Oh, okay.
Because I just have to warn you that things can get a little crazy. There's this mysterious figure that shows up sometimes when we push the button.
The higher power?
Well, he's certainly a higher power. I think maybe we should just push it and see what happens.
I'm down for it, Tyler, if you are.
Yeah, I'm always down for a good time. Let's do this.
Okay, I'm just going to kind of push the button and let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Look what we have here. It looks like some more travelers have wandered into my domain. Oh, you look confused. Allow me to introduce myself. I am the archivist, and you, young boys, are no longer in the world that you know. You have entered into the Hall of Heroes, a place where all the greatest stories across all of space and time are kept. And I have very good news for you both. For tonight, we are going to engage in the greatest of all tales, the saga of the Shining Emblem, Chapter 7, The Legend of Destiny. Now, before I share this tale with you, as is my sacred duty as the archivist, I'm afraid my story is missing one key ingredient, a hero. So one of you will serve as our story's hero for this evening. I believe it shall be you, Tyler. Yes, I know your name. I know many things. And you shall be the one to quest for the Shining Emblem tonight, Tyler. Do you think you're brave enough to take on this quest?
I mean, this isn't what I've been expecting, but, you know, I'm always ready for a challenge. I think Hulk Hogan taught me that, so let's do this.
Foolhardy, as all great heroes are. I'm glad to hear it, Tyler. Now remember, before your quest begins, you have one goal. You must find the Shining Emblem, an object of unimaginable power. Once seized, it will grant you one wish. So think carefully as to what that wish could be. Now then, Andrew. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know your name too.
Yes, yeah, I thought you might.
You will also be an important figure on this quest because all great journeys need a beginning location.
Oh, okay.
And so you shall choose tonight's location.
I think our location tonight is going to be backstage at a pro wrestling event.
Backstage at a pro wrestling event. Very specific. I love it. Mm-hmm. Very well then. Tyler, allow me to explain how this shall work. I will narrate the story, playing all the characters in which you encounter. And at certain points in the tale, I shall turn to you and say, "What do you do?" And you shall reply with whatever you want. Literally, say anything. And I shall change the story. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you say that, then it'll make sense in context. But there is one last thing I must do. Mm-hmm. For my visage, as it is now, is somewhat unappealing and, let's just say, hurtful to one's voice. So I shall use my dark black magics to transform myself into something a bit more pleasing to the ears.
Oh, good, because you look kind of disgusting.
How
right
dare
now.
You?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I am ageless and immortal.
That doesn't mean
you look this good when you're no age.
Okay.
And now I have transformed into a healthy, handsome young man.
Oh, yeah.
And our story can begin.
That's an impressive gimmick right there.
Yeah.
Thanks. You guys are the expert on gimmicks.
Yes.
Now then, Tyler, our story begins. Backstage at a professional wrestling event for the biggest wrestling federation, one that is worldwide, you might say.
Mm.
That's right. You are backstage at a Fire Pro Wrestling match.
Yes.
You're backstage eagerly awaiting the appearance of your favorite wrestlers, holding 8x5s of all of their headshots in your hand nervously. You can feel your palms beginning to sweat as the crowd roars. You've missed the entire wrestling match, but that's okay. You're just here for the autographs. You're standing back there, and all of a sudden you hear from the other side of a nearby door,
I heard there's some kid sneaking around back here trying to get autographs. I think he might be in this hallway over here. Let's go in and check out. It sounds like they're coming your way, Tyler. What do you do?
Oh, boy. How many 8x5s do I have? A large stack?
A stack of them.
It's a big stack.
If it were pancakes, it'd be a tall stack.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be a tall stack. Okay. Are we talking multiple wrestlers or just a singular superstar opponent?
It's just one guy. It's one guy about 80 times. He has a lot of
headshots. One guy to sign several autographs. Okay.
It's Joe the Volcano.
Joe
the Volcano. He is quite over. All right. I look for a small cove that I could hide myself behind. Maybe it'd be an electrical box of some kind.
Well, Tyler, you're in luck. Ooh, you're in luck because this wrestling ring and general arena happens to be on a beach. So just nearby, there is a cove in
are
which
we,
you could
are
hide.
Are we at Bash of the Beach?
Yes, I think we're at Bash at the Beach. This is the pay-per-view.
That's exactly what this is. Fire Pro Wrestling's Bash at the Beach. There's a cove nearby. Mm-hmm. It's dark and spooky in there with a lot of water. Obviously, it's a cove. Mm-hmm. And a rickety old paddle boat sitting on one of the docks. It's not in the water. This thing doesn't look like it would get very far if it was in the water. You can only see back a little ways, and then it just gets darker and darker and spookier and spookier. And this is all inside the arena. It's one of those arenas that's just kind of built into a cliffside. So it just sort of becomes the locker rooms and backstage area just become a cove. So there is a cove there for you, and you dash into it. You hide behind some rocks. And the security guards pass by going, oh, I guess there's nobody here. Well, we could check in that cove. No, no, there's not going to be anybody foolhardy enough to go into that cove. Not with, well, we probably shouldn't talk about what's in there. Anyway, let's go find Joe. He should be coming back soon. Security guards walk off, and you're alone now. You hear strange echoing coming from behind you in the cove. It sounds like, chanting. Of some kind. It's very enticing. You could investigate if you felt courageous, or you could continue to wait for your hero, slavishly wait for your idol, Joe the Volcano. What do you do, Tyler?
Now, this is a pickle I am in, because though I do want to acquire the signature of the great Joe Volcano, I do have a curious bone in my body that I'm gonna follow these chants, as you call them.
You weren't curious about the paddle boat at all?
That's fine.
That's right, I wasn't either.
It's not worth investigating. You move, you tentatively take steps deeper into the cave.
Do I hear what they're chanting? Can I make it out?
Well, as you move farther and farther in, it gets louder and louder, and it starts to be able to make out words. It sounds like, and then you can clearly hear what they're saying is, Tyler, 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 Tyler. You move further and further in, and all of a sudden, you're a lot colder. You're not sure why, but it feels like there's a strong breeze, and you're not as well prepared for these elements as you thought you might have been when attending this match, and your eyes are so ill-adjusted to the darkness that now engulfs you, you can't even tell where you're going. You just continue to walk ahead until suddenly things begin to take shape, and bright lights begin to surround you, and you find that you're in the middle of a wrestling ring, and it's your name they're chanting, and you look around, there's crowds with signs that say, get 'em, Tyler, and do the famous Wardlock. You look down and notice that you're barely wearing any clothes. You've just got on a little Speedo and some armbands and little tassels hanging off your arms, and you look around confused, not sure what's happening, when all of a sudden the lights dim. Fireworks fire off on the opposite side of the arena, and a large hulking man comes in. It's your hero. It's Joe the Volcano. He comes in holding a microphone, and he points a finger menacingly at you and says, I've been waiting to fight you, big baby Tyler. I think it's time we settled, because I'm about to go Mount Vesuvius on you as the lava begins to flow. And then this guitar just starts picking up like, bam, 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 the lava's gonna flow. And then real lava comes rushing out on the sides of that little like walkway that they come out of.
The ramp, yeah.
And the crowd production is going, value. Lava, lava,
this might
lava.
Be an inferno match.
Yes.
Tyler, you're terrified. He's marching his way into the ring. You notice that in one of your hands is a microphone. You can respond to Joe's challenge. What do you do?
Well, I bring the microphone to my mouth and I say, "Look here, Mr. Volcano. I accept your challenge to your match, but first, would you have about 2 seconds to sign these large stack of commemorative 8x5s that I have for you?"
Thankfully, you still have the 8x5s. Joe goes,
Oh, a fan. Well, of course, baby Tyler. I'd love to sign him for you so you can sell him on eBay. Whole crowd laughs. They love this line. You nervously hand him the headshots, and he goes, let me see. Oh, you know what? I don't have the right pen for these. That's okay. I'll just store them over here. He throws the headshots into the lava, and they go up in flames. The crowd goes wild, and the headshots are gone. He's laughing and pointing at you and saying, oh, did you forget your diaper, baby Tyler? It's becoming more and more clear that at one point you may have wrestled under a persona that was a large baby.
As the baby.
But it seems like you've at least moved out of that. The whole crowd is laughing and pointing at you now. Even though Joe the Volcano is probably the villain in this situation, nobody really seems to be on your side. What do you do, Tyler? How do you win the crowd back?
All right. Well, as upsetting as it is that I lost that large collection of 8x5s that I had.
Probably had to pay a lot for those, too.
Yeah, so they were not cheap. I'm going to take my chance here to address Joe Volcano one more time. And I'm going to say, look here, Mr. Volcano. There was a time where you were a hero of mine. There was a time where I idolized you, but I can see now that you're not a hero at all. You, sir, are a dastardly villain. And what I'm going to do to you in this ring that we are standing in right now, surrounded by lava, you, sir, are going to meet a foe that you are not prepared for. You, sir, are going to meet the infant, Tyler Ward. And then I Hulk out, but like baby-wise.
Baby Hulk.
Tyler really embracing his old persona, just goes full baby.
Does the crowd go wild?
The crowd is hushed. And then from the very back, we hear somebody go, we love you, Tyler! And that's the thing that gives the crowd permission to go wild. They throw down their volcano signs, and they take off their hats, their signature Joe the Volcano hats that just look like big volcanoes on their heads. Mm-hmm. They throw those on the ground, and they put their diapers on their heads because they were ready to cheer for either one of you.
Did they have the diapers beforehand?
Yeah, they were. Okay. They, you know, they're big fans, and they weren't sure. Yeah. They were kind of on the fence about who they were going to cheer for. So they've all got their diapers on their heads, and they go, Tyler, Tyler, baby slam, Wardlock, Wardlock. They're all cheering for all the moves they want to see.
Yes.
And Joe is livid. He looks like he's about to erupt. He steps into the ring. The ref comes over to start the match. He picks up the ref. He throws him into the lava. And he goes, we're not going to need a ref for this one, eh, baby Tyler? Because the belt's on the line tonight. And I'm not letting anything stand in the way. Because just like lava, nothing can stop me. And he moves towards you menacingly. The match has begun. What do you do?
Oh, all right, all right. Well, I'm going to use my speed here. I know
your
that
baby speed.
My baby speed. I know that Joe Volcano is a hulking man. He's got quite a lot of more power upon me. But I'm low to the ground. I'm a baby after all. I'm quick.
Yes, you have also shrunk.
I have shrunk.
You are now the size of a baby.
I have baby speed. So I shall duck his incoming clothesline. I assume he's going for a clothesline. That sounds like
you assume correctly. He went right into a clothesline.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to duck that clothesline, and I'm going to come back. I'm going to hit him with a baby leg dropkick, one of my signature moves. This is going to stun Joe Volcano, I hope.
The announcer chimes in. He goes, all right, ladies and gentlemen, we're off to quite a beginning here. Joe the Volcano coming right out of the gate with a clothesline, an ill-advised move against an opponent that is nigh 2 feet tall. And Tyler, the battling baby, quickly, easily dodges under it. And oh, he's scrambling onto the ropes. He's scrambling. It looks like he's going to do one of his signature moves. He pulls a cookie out of his diaper for energy. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, he's doing his baby drop. He climbs up. He uses the ropes to bounce. And he brings his foot down on Joe the Volcano. Joe looks dazed. He's spinning around. He's not sure where he is. That foot really took it into him, didn't it, Phil? Yeah, that's right, Mick. That foot really notoriously can stun almost any opponent, mm-hmm. except, of course, when Tyler went up against Billy the Boulder, who was a literal boulder. But that, of course, is available on our app, the Fire Pro Wrestling app. Subscribe now for all past matches. Great plug there, Mick. Now then, moving on, it looks like, Joe's getting ready for something big. He's reaching into his Speedo. He's pulling out. Oh, no. It's his lava cannon. Now, for those of you at home who are unfamiliar with the lava cannon, this is a famous move of Joe the Volcano. It's just like a big trough that he pulls out of his Speedo, and then he puts it in front of his mouth, and he eats a bunch of hot Cheetos and Doritos, and he's piling them in there, and then he spews fire down the trough, and he puts the whole ring of flame in a way of, well, murdering his opponent. But this is Fire Pro Wrestling, and he's living up to our namesake right now. The baby, Tyler the battling baby, doesn't have much time to come up with a defense against this one. What is he gonna do?
The baby. The battling baby, Tyler Ward, is going to... we're in the ring right now, and I know the trough of lava and Cheetos is coming towards me.
Yeah, it is a large wooden ramp / trough that he has put up against his mouth, and he's ready to spew fire and lava into as soon as he's done eating.
Fair. And I know the ring is also now surrounded by mm-hmm. the other lava, of course.
Yeah. Yes. It is fair because the referee is in the lava, so there's no rules.
He's slowly sinking. That is right.
The bell never rang, so.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to use my baby speed once again to... I'm going to run straight for Joe. I'm running straight for him. I'm going to get right under that trough and get under his legs. He's not prepared for that. So he was expecting to fight me facing forward, but I'm a baby, so I went under him. So now I'm behind Joe, and I have a good positioning here for one of my signature moves. It's called the pacifier. Now this one, I'm gonna springboard off the ropes. That's when you bounce into him and then jump off him. I'm a baby, though, so my legs are not too strong, but strong enough to get me up there. I'm going to springboard upon Joe's shoulders. And from there, I can attach myself to his head area. And the pacifier move, of course, it's where I take one of my super powerful baby legs and mm-hmm. place it into his mouth.
That's the most elaborate answer I've heard for any of these prompts that you've given.
That's great. You're making my job very easy. Oh my God, ladies and gentlemen, he's having some trouble getting that. Oh, but no, his foot is in the mouth of Joe the Volcano. Joe looks perturbed. He doesn't look like he wants to, but then he starts sucking on that leg and he quickly is pacified. His eyes glaze over as he enjoys sucking on the leg of that baby. This is honestly a disturbing sight. A man with nacho cheese and Cheetos and all sorts of things all over his mouth just sucking on the leg of an infant. It just goes to show anything can happen in wrestling. And it looks like he's getting woozy and sleepy. He's starting to fall over. If Tyler makes the right move here, this could all be over. Tyler, what's he going to do?
Don't run out of steam.
Tyler sits on the head for a minute, unsure of what to do. He looks around. He looks around at the crowd. What do I do? He seems to say to them with his face. The audience looks back, obviously gesturing, Wardlock. Wardlock, Tyler, this is the time to do the Wardlock, your most notorious move. Do you want to do the Wardlock, Tyler?
Yes, I do. I want to do the Wardlock.
Tyler raises his arms in the air, signaling the Wardlock is coming, and everybody goes silent because they know what's coming. It sounds like, here it comes. He's going to do it. I know he's going to do it. This is what we paid for. Oh, my God, it's going to happen.
These are very polite fans.
Well, they're all whispering to each other because they know they need silence for this. That's when an aura begins to surround Tyler, an aura that causes him to grow to the size of an adult man and becomes wrapped in a Starfield cloak. He has transformed into his alter ego, the Wardlock.
the most powerful warlock in all the realm. He twinkles his hands, and with a snap of his fingers, a giant lock appears, like a bicycle lock. Mm-hmm. He wraps it around the neck of Joe the Volcano and slams him into the ground, locking it shut. Joe the Volcano snaps to his senses, feeling around his neck, realizing he's just been wardlocked. No, no, he cries. Not the wardlock. I can't get up. That's when the upper half of the body of the ref crawls into the ring, his bottom half completely engulfed in flames and disintegrating. He crawls over to Joe the Volcano. Joe struggles with the lock. No, no, not like this. Not again. Not when I was so close. The ref goes, one, two, three. You're round, you're done, it's a pin. The wardlock lifts his arms in a state of bliss as he slowly returns to his baby form, and the crowd goes wild. They have just seen wrestling history. Not only have they seen lava engulf an arena and kill several patrons, and now definitely a referee. They've seen a baby become a man, become a baby again, and achieve the title of world champion. Ladies and gentlemen, your champion, the battling baby, Tyler Ward. From above you, a belt begins to lower, but that's not the belt you recognize. In the middle is not the logo for the Fire Pro Wrestling. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful, shining beacon. It is the very object which you see all along. The shining emblem. It lowers down in front of you, and you hear a calming, angelic voice. Hello, Tyler.
Is it a signed 8x5
Joe Volcano? No, Tyler, I am not a signed 8x5. I am the shining emblem. I am the object for which you quested, and I am here to reward you on your vainglorious victory with one wish. Choose wisely, Tyler. What do you wish? Anything in the world, it can be yours.
Think about this. You can get anything in the world, Tyler.
I think you know what I want.
I think I know what you want. Go ahead and say it.
Very well, Tyler. I have read your mind. And your wish is granted. The emblem disappears, breaking apart into 7 pieces that spread across the world and turn to stone for 1 year. And in front of you, there's a dazzling flash of light. And suddenly, you see lowering down into your hands a glossy 8x5 photograph of Joe the Volcano from his Rumblin's A-Comin' tour, where he had the brown and red fiery costume that you loved so much as a child. With best wishes, your pal Joe the Volcano, written in silver Sharpie on it. It lowers into your hands. You've succeeded in your quest. However, you probably should have used that wish on retaining a human, normal human form, or getting out of this arena, because the lava that is slowly engulfing this arena continues to do so, and I'm afraid you have no way out. You are slowly engulfed by flames, ending your life, but you die in a state of pure bliss, because as you slowly sink into that fiery depth, a tear comes to your eye, and a smile grows across your face, because you have the autograph of Joe the Volcano. And with that, your quest is ended. Congratulations, you found the shining emblem, you succeeded, your reign as world champion shall live on forever.
Archivist, can I ask, the lava is still rising. Might we also die if we stay here any longer?
Ooh, we should probably go. You know what? Why don't I just undo the effects of this box, and send you back to where you came from? That is one of my powers.
Oh, good.
And here we go! Hey, guys, you're back.
Oh, Jesus.
Did anything happen? I I just kind of hit the button and then you disappeared. And
oh, really? You didn't came back. You didn't come with us for that?
No, I missed everything.
But there was a whole like epic journey. Like Tyler became a baby and then became a man who became a baby.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a lot of fun. That sounds like the kind of thing where I would, hearing that story, I would be enticed to go see a live show that would recreate something.
Would you pay $8 to see it?
Absolutely.
I'm not sure, but I might have died.
Yeah, I thought you were dead, Tyler. I'm really happy to see you alive. I think I might
have died. Wow. So I guess my box works, at least for you guys.
I would have to say it was overall an enjoyable experience. And I would probably, yes, pay $8 for that to do that again.
All right.
And I would prefer that it would be at the Pit Loft in Manhattan, New York. On what day?
On March 2nd, maybe at 10:30 p.m. You know, a nice evening show.
But there's one more thing that doesn't check out. What did you do for that whole 30 minutes that we were just...
I just twiddled my thumbs.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains it. That is about all the time we have on the show. Thank you for doing this with us, Matt, and really going deep dive. Can you say that you learned anything about wrestling while you were here?
I certainly learned a little bit about wrestling, certainly about wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
My palate has been expanded as to the people I could pull from. If somebody was like, name a wrestler, I could say...
Joe the Volcano.
Joe the Volcano.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say.
So we have come to the part of the show where if we have any plugs, we should do them. Tyler, do you have any plugs for us right now?
I don't have any fancy plugs, so I'm going to go ahead and plug ourselves. If you guys want to send any questions for a future episode into the Kayfabe 5000, I'll have my scientists will have it fixed by the next time I record, I'm certain. You can submit them to us on our website, muchadowrestling.com, or on Twitter at adowrestling. If you want to email them directly to us, muchadowrestling@gmail.com, we will definitely get to them there.
Yeah, we will. I check that email all the time. Matt, I feel like you have one particular thing to plug right now.
Oh, man. The Saga of the Shining Emblem, Chapter 7, The Legend of Destiny, The Pit Loft, March 2nd, 10:30 p.m. And there'll be more if you can't make it. If you can't make it, then, you know.
You're dead to you.
No excuse. Just go.
Yeah.
But there will be more of this show. It's gonna come to your town, wherever you're listening to this from. I mean, ideally, that would be great. But support the show, because it's going to be super good.
Okay. Well, we've come to that time of the evening where we want to leave you in the words while that ambulance blares in the background. We're going to leave you in the immortal words of the bard, William Shakespeare. Do you want to give it to us, Matt, since you are an actor extraordinaire?
As always, we leave with the words of the immortal William Shakespeare. If wrestling be the food of love, fight on.
Dig it!
Yeah, that's where Tyler's catchphrase comes in.